Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I want to share with you a message for the next few moments. It's really going to be a brief, short message, but I think it ought to be powerful. It's on the subject of love. When you think about the basis for which we do everything, it has to be out of a motivation of love. But how does that motivation come? Where do we get that motivation? It doesn't come from anyone except God. Because God loves, and if we say that we're followers of God and have a relationship with God, then that ought to translate into our lives being lives of an extension of His love. Now, I want to talk to you about that. And the way I'm going to start with the chapter that's known as the chapter on love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you want to turn there and follow with me, it actually is going to come up and it'll scroll for you. But I want to read the whole chapter as the Apostle Paul, in the midst of chapter 12, where he talks about spiritual gifts operating in the church and in the body life, and the importance of spiritual gifts. Chapter 14, again, continues with spiritual gifts. It gets more specific about the types of gifts and their operations and the order in which they should be operated. He stops and he writes chapter 13. It's actually one letter, but he writes these thoughts in chapter 13 about the subject of love, and it doesn't take long for us to get an understanding of why. Paul starts out, he says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and understanding all, I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with." Paul said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." The greatest of these is love. The greatest need that the world has is love. Of all things that people need, no matter what color you are, where you're from, what your background is, every human being needs to feel loved. We need to know that we're important to somebody, that somebody truly cares about us, wants us, accepts us unconditionally. And when we doubt that we are loved, what happens is we begin to develop behavior that's unacceptable. We begin to respond. We begin to try to, if we're not getting the love, then is there a substitute for that? So is it through a relationship, or is it through, it could be very in the ways that we try to get people's attention. I believe there are at least five things that we can pull out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and just biblical understanding of love. Mother Teresa said this, "The hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread." And she dedicated her whole life to feeding the poor. Every time she had an opportunity, it's not the first time I heard the testimony of someone who ran into her. She would never meet anyone without asking them, "What are you doing for the poor and needy of the world?" But even though she was sold out, there's something that she picked up along the way, even amongst the poor and needy, that the love thing was the hardest thing to fill. Now, we know God is love, but because God is love, I guess the key is how can we live in this world, live in such a way that God's love flows through us, is reflected from us in a way that it literally is going to change someone's life or make a difference in their life. It's so easy to become hard as you live in this world. It's true. It's so easy to become somewhat calloused. And the result of it is we're not bad people. It's just that we're really not expressing the kind of love that's going to change someone's life. We're too selective. We're too cliquish. And we carry too many of our own problems, and we think that our problems should be resolved first. But I think if we really get the message of the Bible is that God's willing to do that. He's willing to not only show you his love, but he wants you to receive his love so that you can then in turn love other people. Let's talk about them. First of all, God's love is self-giving. I'm going to jot these down on your notes. It is self-giving, giving of self. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says, God is love. Verse 9 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent one and only Son. You see, God standing alone in the universe, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And because God is love, he took action. Love involves action. And the action that he took was he created man, and in creating man was for the purpose that he could reveal or share who and what he was about. His character, his attributes, which I think the one that stands out the most is love. So giving of oneself for the good of another. That's what self-giving is. Think about it. Ponder it just for a moment. Giving of oneself for the good of another. You might not benefit out of it at all. Matter of fact, it might take you out of your way. It might be a little inconvenient, but real love is giving of oneself to another. And God wanted to give of himself. And I guess the very simple key, we kind of refer to it in our time at the altars here, is that if we, the closer we get to our Lord and Savior, the closer we get to God, the more intimate we become in our own relationship, the more we dig in, pursue. Like Paul said, he pursued, he pressed toward that mark. The more we press toward getting close to our God, the more reflection of his character we will be to the world around us. You can't expect just to kind of float through life and allowing everything and anything to enter your mind and join in everything and expect then, because I know God is love, I'm going to love people. It's a matter of choosing priorities, and a priority ought to be, I'm desperate for you. God, of all things in this life, I want to focus in on my relationship with you. The second thing about God's love, it's sacrificial. This is not something you tiptoe around. It's love is not something that can really be expressed without some sacrifice being involved in it. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There was a sacrifice on God's part to express his love. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Did you catch that last part? Lay down our lives. He laid down his life. are we willing to lay down our lives? That's sacrifice. And it costs you something. He not only gave of himself, it was only not only self-giving, but it cost him to give of himself. It will cost you to give of yourself. It's different from our love. We hesitate to do anything which will cost us too much inconvenience. What runs through our minds immediately when there's an opportunity? Does it fit into my schedule? It's going to mess up my schedule. It probably will all the time. To give of your finances, to express love through giving water and food and continually helping people, it's going to be a sacrifice for you to set aside $100 or $500 that wasn't in your budget. But how many believe that God is big enough to bring it all back home to you again? He is. He's big enough to do it. When we're doing his work in his name with the spirit of love, not just doing it. Notice what Paul said. I could give all that I have to the needy and poor. If it's just an exercise of philanthropy and just doing that, that's not going to make it work. It comes from a heart of love. God values us. Thirdly, God's love is unconditional. Now, you won't find a scripture in the Bible that talks about unconditional love. But yet the theme of the Bible when it comes to love is it is totally unconditional. For example, Romans 5:10, when we were enemies, say enemies. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. That's unconditional. He didn't wait for us to change. He didn't expect us to change. God doesn't expect you to change. God's gift to you is grace. While you were in sin, while you were an enemy, while you were ignoring God, while you were doing your own thing, he still died for you. That's unconditional love. It was not based on a condition. See, we pick and choose who we love based on conditions normally. Mother Teresa again, intense love does not measure, it just gives. Intense love does not measure, it just gives. Another thing about God's love, it's comforting. It is comforting. Personal testimony. There was such a comfort when I first experienced God's love and realized that God really did love me for the first time. I was in my mid-20s. I had experiences already in life, but when I sensed God's love and I knew that he directed it toward me, there was such a comfort that came with that, such an assurance that came with that, such a confidence that comes with that. God's love is comforting. And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. It's that intimate relationship. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. That's how comforting it is that when the love of God overwhelms you and consumes you, and you realize this, you believe it, you've taken it in, you're walking in it, there's no fear. Fear is cast out because the minute the enemy will try to use fear, the minute a situation presents itself to fear, if the love of God is welling up inside of you, you know that God's not going to abandon you. Power in that love. When we experience God's love, that's our security. Your job's not your security. Your family's not even your security. Your investment for retirement is not your security. The only security you have in this life and the only security we have to offer people, and we've learned this over and over again, is not just to give them money. That's not their security. To give them Jesus. To give them this love of God that will bring this security to their lives. And lastly, love is life-changing. No doubt about it. It'll change your life. It'll help you, not only help you, it forces you to refocus your priorities. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. unless we are genuinely convinced that we ourselves are loved. You know, it's hard to love other people when you don't love yourself and you don't understand that God loves you. It's very hard. Why should we love others? Nobody loves me. 1 John 4 says we love because, what? He first loved us. And that's the first part of it. He first loved us. There is nothing more, church. There is nothing more God can do for you. So to go to God and say, if you'll just do this, then I'll know that you love me. There's nothing more that he can do. If you'll just answer this prayer, then I know you love me. No. We're missing it. He already did. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, a sacrifice. His only son. There's no more that he can do. So rather than a look to what God can do for you in the future, look back what he's done for you already while you were an enemy and in sin. It's done with. He loves you, period. You might say, well, I'm not a Christian yet. God still loves you. You know that? For God so loved the world and all the people in the world. He so loved the world. Now, he's not going to take the choice away from us. He's not going to take free will away from us. The choice is, I accept that, God. I accept that you love me, and I accept what you did for me. I accept this free gift of grace and salvation. Give it to me. Fill me up with it. It's life-changing as a result of it. Karl Barth, often regarded as the greatest Protestant theologian of the 20th century. He wrote over 60 volumes of commentaries. He was a brilliant man, they said. He opposed the Nazis and Adolf Hitler during that time. He was asked by a student, what is the most significant truth that you had discovered in all the time and all the ministry and all the teaching and all the studying, you know, what's the most significant truth? He thought for a moment and then he just said this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Would you stand with me, please?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.